All right, here we are. Welcome back to yet another episode of the Strongest Tribe podcast. I believe this is episode number 108. And you know, Lids, how we've been wondering why or how to figure out how many episodes there are. It says it on Anchor, like on that first page when you open it. I think it must be it must be an update.
Oh my gosh, yes, it does. Yeah.
So now we'll always know. 108.
There you go.
There we go.
Now we know.
No more maths required.
No,
so whether
more.
It is your first or your 108th episode, thank you for joining us here today. Now it's a special kind of episode because you have myself and Lydia all to yourself today. No rude interruptions from any special guests. It's just the two of us. This is how it started and we are back. And we felt like it was long overdue for us to sit down, chat about how we're both going, any kind of updates, and also we're going to chat about some nice little topics which we'll dive into soon. But before we get into that, Lydia, update us on your previous fortnight. What's been happening? What's been going well? What's not been going well? Give us the full rundown.
Well, I'm glad you asked, firstly. Well, if anyone was listening to the most recent episode, you guys will know I'm quite injured. Although I feel like I need some serious updates because last episode I was in a boot and I was pretty sure I had a fifth metatarsal bone stress, but I've since had my MRI results and I do not have bone stress on my fifth metatarsal, which is wonderful. Big celebration there, although the source of my pain is now a little bit more of a question mark because the MRI report was a bit confusing and I am yet to seek clarification from the radiologist. So basically I kind of don't quite know where it's at. It's possible I've got some bone stress in some of my midfoot bones, although it may not be. I actually previously had a result, an MRI result, which revealed some midfoot arthritis like 2 years ago. So I actually think that might be what the MRI was picking up, this scan, just like my good old foot arthritis. but basically, I don't quite know what's going on, is my current update. And my foot is mostly feeling a lot better. I still can't hop pain-free, so I'm still not running, but I am doing more walking, which is really nice. And I have new hobbies now. I'm back into swimming, which is very exciting, and I'm really enjoying it because, as you guys know, I enjoy swimming anyway, just generally, but it's just so nice to be back in the pool again because I had a big break from it, not intentionally, but just like, well, I mean, I guess kind of intentionally. Like, it wasn't like I just forgot to go, but I was just busy doing other things and it just wasn't a priority. And I love swimming, but I prefer swimming in the ocean. But anyway, I'm back in the pool and I'm really enjoying it. I've been going 3 times a week. And this week I did squad for the first time and it was so fun. It was called the Coffee Club Squad. And it was all these 70 and 80 year olds and me. Like 26-year-old Lydia and all these 78-year-olds. It was so cute.
Perfect.
I know. I think
I like that's your target
right
market.
I know. it was so nice. They were all pretty fit and fast as well, which I wasn't surprised at because I feel like that is like peak swimming age. And I'm looking forward to that peak swimming age. I think it's just like when you get tougher, like you reach your peak toughness around 70s and 80s. So I'm looking forward to that. But you know what was really fun in the squad set? We did this hypoxic drill, which I was like, yes, this is going to be up my alley. So hypoxic is basically like breath hold stuff. And you don't actually go into the hypoxic state because I think that would be quite dangerous. But it's like meant to sort of mimic that. So you're basically trying to build up the carbon dioxide tolerance. So you hold your breath longer. Normally when I swim, I take a breath a bit less frequently, I would say, than the average person, just because I find it more comfortable. Maybe I'm just trying not to turn my head too much because I get a sore neck, but I normally breathe every 5 to 7 strokes. But the drill was like start at 3, then go to 5, then go to 7, and just keep going up the ladder as high as you can. And it was 850 meters of that. And it was just like such a good challenge. I got to 13. And
wow.
Oh my gosh. By the end, I was like, wow, like I am ready for a breath. Because obviously I'm doing diving at the moment as well, which is like hold your breath, dive as deep as you can. But it's so different when you're like swimming along, going as hard as you can. You're trying to like get to the end of the lane and also just not breathe. So that was really fun, and it was a really good challenge, and it was nice to have that like sense of accomplishment and sense of pushing myself and community whilst not running, because I think that's something that I enjoy about running. So it was really good to have that in the pool.
Nice. That sounds fun. I'd be interested to know how that would feel. I feel like I'd enjoy, I think the challenge that's like, it's not just about how good a swimmer you are, it's like your mental capacity and your lung capacity.
Yeah. That's it. So I was like, it didn't actually matter how fast you went, but obviously there's like that balance of trying to go fast so that you like quickly get to the next time you can breathe. But then the faster you go, the more oxygen you burn. So then the more you need to breathe. And it was really cool. It was like fun because, you know, often when you swim, it's quite, I mean, I don't want to say it, but it can be quite boring because you're just looking at the lane rope or the lane rope, the black line. And, you know, I quite like the black line. I find it quite relaxing, quite soothing. But I do understand why people like swimming is boring. I can totally get why people think that. But when you do something like that in a squad session, like it goes so quickly and it's so fun. So very excited. And if you look at my Strava graph, it is very like I actually had someone screenshot it and send it to me. They're like, you can tell when a runner's injured, and it's like doing like 700 meters every single week. And then there's suddenly a big spike. So I'm trying to not do any more than 3 times a week swimming because I am not going to get a shoulder injury.
No,
if
more.
I do, it's also okay and I'll accept it, but I'm not going to get a shoulder injury. Okay.
No.
Just so you know, you heard it here first, you heard it here last.
Good. It did cross my mind, I have to say, when I saw the 3K swim. I think the second time around, I was like, okay, she's back at it again.
Yeah.
Another hour. Let's just like ease into it. So I'm glad that you're aware of that. And I think 3 times a week is very sensible.
Yeah. 3 times 3Ks. It feels good. I've only swum twice this week. Oh, 3 times. Well, today doesn't count. My ocean swim doesn't count.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's what I've been doing. And obviously going for my lovely walks in the morning and the afternoon and whenever I have breaks during the day at work, which is really nice. I'm a walker and a swimmer and a gym goer, and I'm enjoying it. Anyway, tell me, Sophie Lane, you've had an eventful couple of days and couple of weeks, actually. Tell us what's been going on for you.
Yeah, great question. Lots of things. Firstly, I don't think I spoke about this last time, about my weird foot thing.
No, you did it.
No, okay, good. Okay, so I got very inspired by the Matildas, as everyone else did, and I started to think that I might play soccer again next year, which I used to play throughout my youth, and I was like, may as well just go around, kick the ball, see if I've still got it, you know, see if I can still kick a three-pointer or whatever they're called.
Home run or something. Home run.
Anyway, did that. It was fun for like 40 minutes or so. And then came
was
back.
That all it was?
Something like that. Maybe an hour.
You must have been
out
for like 4 hours or something.
Yeah, you'd think so. The state of me afterwards. No pain. Felt fine. But then I just tried to lift my foot off the ground, like my toes towards my shin, and I couldn't do it. And they just wouldn't move. And I was like, what's going on? Didn't hurt. Felt fine. Just physically couldn't move it. And I thought I was paralyzed or something. And yeah, I was a bit concerned. I was like, wow, I've just lost all capability to move my foot. Can't really walk because when you walk, you land on your heel, but I couldn't really get it into that position. So it was all a bit dramatic for a moment. And I messaged Lydia and explained. And she told me to chop it off. So that filled me with a lot of confidence. So yeah, then I ran 25Ks the next day, which felt strange because I couldn't quite move how I normally move. And I definitely am more of a mid to rear foot striker, if anything. I'm not traditionally a 4 foot striker, but I kind of had to be on that run because I just couldn't land on my heel. So I definitely changed my running style, my biomechanics and everything for that run, and nothing felt fantastic about it, but I did run into Tom Petrini, which made it all okay, made it all better. Had some nice chats with him, and there were lots of lovely other people.
I was gonna say shout out to Tom Petrini. Guys, if you haven't listened to our episode with him,
check
it out all the way back at episode number not sure what, but it was a great episode.
It was great. Definitely like up there as one of the best. I feel bad because I don't want to say the best because then I feel bad for everyone else, but like it was pretty good.
Please everyone.
No. Anyway, saw him. It was great. Then driving home from that run was not much fun because trying to move from the brake to the accelerator was challenging. And then I spoke to Blake Withers. Shout out to Blake Withers. Check out his episode as well. So many great connections from our previous guests. We should have them all on again. I feel like they've all just been so good. But he suggested, similar to what Lydia was thinking, with some tenosynovitis. So I got into the anti-inflammatories, got into the creams. Did I tell you I had a reaction to the cream? I got this big rash.
No, you didn't.
Big rash, very itchy, very like not nice.
Oh gosh.
I was like, I can't even, okay. I'm immune. I'm like reacting to the drugs. It's all going wrong.
I didn't get a picture of the rash.
Oh yeah, no.
Can I just say on that? This just made me laugh so much. Speaking about rashes and like, you know, just the running ailment.
Yeah, I don't know where this is going.
I had a patient the other day ask me if I wanted to see a picture of their blisters. And I don't know. Is that something that other physios
was it
check?
Relevant to the like treatment?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
And if that patient's listening, like I'm enthused by blister prevention. I really am.
Did you say yes?
Well, no, because I didn't want to see them.
Oh.
I'm not that interested. Like, I like feet, but I'm interested in feet clinically, but not interested in blisters on feet. Like, I was like, I've got blisters on my feet I can look at. I don't need to see pictures of your blisters. But I just thought it was so funny. So, guys, is that a thing? Like, do you normally show your health professionals pictures of your blisters? Sophie Lane, did you show your doctor a picture of your foot rash?
No. When did
No.
I haven't seen a doctor, but I wouldn't have shown him my foot
No,
rash.
okay.
Also, it was a shin rash because it was my Tibet.
Of
that
course,
was the issue.
sorry. I thought maybe
anyway,
it was like on your ankle brace.
No, no, no. All good for higher up. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It got better. It was fine. 3 days off running was all better. And then I did 30Ks Sunday just gone. And again, just nothing felt great, but nothing felt that bad. It was kind of like just all a bit average. I met a lovely lady, Michelle, on that run, and it was so nice. We had some great chats and ran with Nick Youngquest and the crew for the Sydney Marathon Run Club, and was going to do 25 and then went a bit too far, you know, didn't quite calculate the distance in my brain, and then pulled up okay after that. And then 2 days ago, I've lost track. Anyway, got this random foot pain that was really sore, and I messaged Lydia saying, I think I've got a stress fracture, and my life's ruined and it's all
can
over.
Your message was like, now it can't be a stress fracture because, and then it was like 5 minutes and I was like, anyway, but it just can't be a stress fracture because, and it was like another 5 minutes.
Yeah, sorry.
I was like,
really,
no,
well,
I could
it
like
in my brain.
Yeah, you were like basically just convincing yourself it wasn't a stress fracture.
Yeah.
Like, yep, you definitely think you've got a stress fracture. I feel like we just need to stop talking about them, but it's my fault.
Yeah.
For doing the bone stress episode.
Yeah,
it's just on your mind. Hypervigilant.
Yeah.
Now
I learned a lot. But it was the fact that it was like, it felt like it was on my bone. I was like, it can't be anything else. It's my bone. Anyway, got on the anti-inflams again, put the cream on my foot again. It hasn't reacted yet, but I'm nervous.
Where's the rash?
The rash is incoming. I'll send you a photo of the rash.
I can't wait to see it.
And it feels much better today. So that's good, I guess. But it's all a bit confusing. And to be honest, like, it's kind of annoying. Why do things keep hurting? Why can't we just run and like enjoy moving our body and like doing our thing without it all going wrong? So
I think you're just really into the drugs these days, Sophie. Like, I think you're in the second half of your 20s. You've passed that 25 mark and now you just, it's all you like to do is get on the hard stuff, the NSAIDs.
The NSAIDs. No, I'm feeling a bit grumpy about it, but definitely slightly more positive today. Would like to do a long run on Sunday because that's what we do, but don't know about that. Lydia suggests no.
Yeah,
Lydia's like the little devil, or the devil, the angel, one of them on my shoulder, and I'm the other one. Lydia said I was naughty for running last night, which is really true. And I read her messages saying don't run, and I maybe ignored them a lot and chose to run
and
anyway.
You didn't reply to my message until the next morning.
Because I didn't want to tell you that I was running because I would feel guilty.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I've had a lot of patients the last week who have not taken my advice. Gone against the advice of don't run.
More stern.
Yeah,
threaten us
to get grumpy. I'll threaten patients by showing them pictures of my blisters and my. You know what? I don't actually get blisters. I just have calloused feet. They're just really tough. You know what else on the topic of blisters?
Yeah, what?
I'm not bothered by them. Like,
you're so tough.
Yeah, I know. I am. No, it's not actually that. I just can't imagine them being annoying. Like, I could have a blister and it doesn't bother me. I don't
Well, you
understand.
must not get them like us softies.
Other people. Well, I know. I think I.
You've got leather skin. Your skin is leather. It's thick.
My
so
hands.
So many layers.
Yeah, well.
I reckon I've got one layer. That's all.
You do have very soft skin, which is
Thanks.
True. No, but I'm the opposite. Like, yeah, my hands and feet do not feel like they just don't. Hence why I had this fucking sore foot for so long, because I just don't notice it that much until like I can't hop. And you know what I've realized? I think I told you, for so long I've had to land on the flat of my foot. I can't land on my like midfoot. So I'll be running on my midfoot on my left side, and my right side I just land flat because it's too painful to go on my midfoot. So I've just adjusted that for months and months now.
Oh wow.
So yeah, anyway, just on the topic of that, blisters are fine, guys. I don't understand.
No,
why
they're not fine.
So
it's just your leathery skin that's just different.
Yeah, it must be. I don't know. You know what? Actually, I what's the word? I attracted this. When I was 9, I wanted to be a wombat. You know why? I read a book about wombats.
Okay.
You know in school how you like learn about animals?
Yep.
Gosh, it's all common actually. I've forgotten about this. Well, I've created this. What's that book, The Secret, where you like put out into the universe what you want? I did this. So I read a book about the wombats, and wombats have got really tough feet, and they don't have to, they just get to stroll through the forest all day long on their tough, thick feet. And I remember reading that and thinking, wow, I wonder if I walk barefoot enough around the outside, like on the dirt, on the ground.
I'll become a wombat.
I wonder if I get wombat feet.
Oh my, I don't know how we got to this point.
So I think I created this. Gosh, okay. I'm a manifestor.
So if I read the wombat book, will my soft skin not be so soft anymore?
Well, it's not just about reading it. You have to then.
Oh, you got to embody it.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Wow. Well, there
it
you
all
go.
Makes
I'm
sense
so glad.
Now.
I'm so glad it makes sense. Okay. All right. Moving on. Sophie Lane, what is one thing that you're going to do better next week?
Oh, okay. I'm going to keep up the anti-inflammatories. I'm just going to carry on taking them, regardless of if I'm in pain or not. I think it'll just be like breakfast, banana, piece of toast, anti-inflamm. No, I'm going to do my calf raises. Is that a cop-out? I feel like that's such a cop-out.
No, it's good. It's good.
I'm going to get to bed a bit earlier.
Oh, good. Nice. I like that.
Thanks.
I'm on board. And my one thing is going to be doing more yoga.
More than 6 minutes?
No, I've done it. I've done another 4 minutes. So
double digits. Don't do too much. Don't do too much. Are we going to start seeing a new Strava graph of Lydia's yoga?
Well, I've been thinking about that. Should I start recording all my other activities?
No, please. Okay. No, please. I'll block you.
Okay. All right.
Also, follow us on Strava if you're not ready, because you're missing some great content. Lydia's 3K swims and my 2K runs.
Anyway, guys, welcome to the episode today. Today's a catch. Catch up episode, and we thought we would reintroduce ourselves in case you don't know who we are and you're just thinking
what was all of that previous 20 minutes. Lydia is not only a physio but also a wombat.
Okay.
All right, compose. Would you like to go first, introduce yourself?
So myself, I'm a physio. I studied at the University of Newcastle, and I currently reside in Sydney's eastern suburbs, but I used to live in the beautiful mid-north coast of New South Wales in the wonderful Coffs Harbour, and I am a physiotherapist and a personal trainer. I work at the Running Room in Clovelly, which is a physio practice specialising in active people and mostly treating runners, and I absolutely love it. And I had a pinch me moment the other week about how good, like, I literally get to hang out and treat runners all day, every day. And I'm very stoked and very grateful for that. So not only did I manifest the wombat life, I did also manifest this as well, because when I was, I think when I was like 15, I practiced probably younger moments as well. But I remember when I was 15, someone was like, oh, I've got a sore knee at school. And I was like, oh, let me show you what you can do for it. And I showed them my physio exercises for my sore knee and was thinking that I was helping them fix their sore knee. So I was doing sore knee exercises right from the age of 15. And now here I am. I get to tell people all day, every day, what exercises to do for their sore knee.
I bet nothing's changed. I bet the exercises are exactly the same as they were then. Do you remember what they were?
I remember, and I have prescribed that exercise once. It's where you go, like, lean against a wall, you stand on one leg, and you have a Swiss ball in between your leg closest to the wall and the wall. So you, like, put pressure into it from your standing leg, and you go into, like, a half squat, and you're going to get, like, an isometric contraction of your glute and your quad, and then you can make it dynamic and do, like, a single leg squat. It's really hard.
Mm.
In fact, Sophie Lange,
I need some visuals.
Yeah, well, look, one day I might show it to you if you're lucky.
Thanks.
All right, so that's who I am.
Wow.
Yeah, what about you, Sophie Lange?
What about me? My name is Sophie Lange. That is the only thing I go by. I do not go by Sophie or anything less than Sophie Lange. I am an exercise physiologist by trade. I think this is going to be my new thing, by the way. You know when people ask me what I do? I really struggle. So I think I'm going to say I'm an exercise physiologist by trade because, like, that's my qualification, right? But my main thing is running coaching and strength conditioning coaching. So I think I'm going to say exercise physiologist specializing in endurance athletes. I provide online and in-person coaching in the gym and on the track, on the trails, wherever you want me, I'll be there. And I also do some physiological metabolic testing in the lab, lactate and VO2 max testing. And they're the main ones. I got a few other ones, but they're not really important for this podcast. I do some ergonomic assessments, some work health safety, blah blah blah. That's me. I also like to run.
You do, Sophie Lange.
Yeah, I feel like we should give a bit of a background on our running journeys, just like when we started. I don't have to go all the details, but just like, why do we get into it?
Yeah, okay, well, Sophie Lange, tell me, when did you start running?
I think it was year 3 or year 4, and I wanted to train for the school cross country. So I ran from my house to the end of, like, the street in Bensville where I lived to the main road. And I, like, wouldn't go on the main road because that was a bit scary. So I went to the end and back, and it was 1 kilometer each way. And I got back, and my parents and my neighbors were all, like, waiting for me to get back. And they all cheered for me as I crossed the finish line and collapsed on the grass and, like, thought I was dying because I just ran so far. Like, I thought it was so far. And then did my cross country, and I was coming first, and then this girl, like, I was coming back around, we, like, went out and back. I haven't told you this, don't think.
No.
And this girl fell over and she was crying.
Oh.
So I stopped and, like, checked if she was okay, and then she was okay, and then I obviously lost my place, and then I sprinted, like, catching up, and then I won. And it was pretty cool. Yeah. Just not only a hero, but also elite athlete. So put that on the resume.
Wow, Sophie Lange. That's great.
Yeah,
I have, like, a similar story of my first school cross country, except I didn't do any kind deeds for anyone.
Did you fall over?
No, I didn't fall over. No, probably people fell over behind me, but I didn't care. I just
You wouldn't have known. You were too focused.
I wouldn't have noticed, yeah.
Too focused, too in the zone.
I was trying to develop my wombat feet. So.
Yeah, true. So that was me. And it's just, you know, it's all just kept it up since then. But what did spark my more pursuing running longer term, more getting into it, was you. So. Yeah.
Me.
You.
the podcast listeners are me.
they've helped recently, but you were the one who reinvigorated my love for running. Well, yeah. Like, I was running, but, like, I wasn't, like, into it that much. Like, I was into it a bit. I definitely was into it. I had my journals and I made my videos. I really, really want us to put that video up somewhere of me with the A to Z of running or whatever it was. Anyway. We did that 6 at 6 run together, and then we talked about doing a half marathon, and then we just trained for that half marathon. And I still remember, like, every Sunday or whatever it was, we'd do, like, an extra kilometer on the one we did before. And we're like, whoa, like, furthest run ever. And then, like, next one was even longer, and, like, it was so exciting. So thank you for being, like, so important in my running life and my normal life.
Oh, that's so nice. Wow.
That was, like, 7 years ago.
Yeah, right. Oh gosh, wow. I mean, we're getting old, right?
We are.
We're almost hitting peak grit age. Not quite. 70s and 80s for my
Peak
boys.
swimmer age.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Okay, wow. Well, I'm gonna tell you about how I got into running.
Please.
I feel like I started very similar age. I started when I was 8, from what I recall. And I feel like my drive was to feel like I belonged and to be important. I think that's why I started. And like a sense of competition too. So basically, my brother was training for school cross country and he was going for runs with my dad. And I didn't want to miss out. I wanted to be part of it. And I was a bit envious. And so I went for a run and I really enjoyed it. And I was a lot more committed than my brother was. And I think I really enjoyed that because it was like, yes, look at me. Like, I'm doing another run. I'm going for another run. Hey, dad, like, can we go for a run? And so, like, I trained for school cross country and I won school cross country. And I didn't know until I'd finished because I was just so in the zone, which I think is like quite just like true of how I always am in my life. Like, I'm very much just in my own little world. And I'm very like focused on the process and didn't really notice. But I think also when you're young and you have that sense of validation from doing something, and dad was a runner, slash dad still is a runner, I think. Yeah, like dad was really proud of me, and I remember that very strongly. And then I remember going to HRS, which is the next level, and it was the hottest day ever. And just like, yeah, it was really, really nice bonding moment with my dad and myself. And yeah, that's just how it started. And I think you then become like the runner, and I was the runner, which, like, I mean, I wasn't really, but I
You
think there's
were,
some,
can I interrupt? You were
yes.
such the runner. So for context, guys, we went to high school together for year 7 to 10. But we weren't really friends. I just used to buy Lydia's chocolates from her. She was raising money for French Trip, and I used to buy all the caramelly koalas. Anyway, Lydia was the runner. I still remember your braids. I don't know if you wore ribbons in the end of the braids.
Sometimes I had
Sometimes
ribbons,
red ones,
sometimes I
I can
had beads. Of
remember.
course, red always,
Yeah,
yes.
because you were in that house, weren't you? I was in
I
Jackson,
was in
the
the
greenhouse.
red house.
Yes, I remember. And it was always like you in my head, I like ran, but I was like a casual, like just run. But you were like the runner. I was like, okay, like Lydia's here. She's the one that's like good. I'm just here because like I just like to participate. That's how I imagine
Wow.
it. We were in different age groups anyway, but I just always remember seeing you just like being the running girl. And I was like, oh, that'd be kind of cool, but like that's not me. I'm just casual.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's
Yeah.
so weird. That's so strange. Because, I mean, I obviously enjoyed it. But the thing is, I think I sat out of more like cross country and more school sport than I actually participated in because I had so many injuries all through high school, all through primary school. So I did less running than I actually did running. Like more of the time, I was. That makes sense. Most of the time, I wasn't running. But like when
Yeah.
I did run, I was like very much the mentality of like, you have to look the part. Like, what is it? Fake it
Yes,
till you
you
make
did.
it. Or
You did
like,
look the part.
I like always wore my house colors, had to
Yeah.
have my lucky
Those little
hairstyle.
shorts, the little
Yeah.
tight shorts. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the scrungies, because
Scungies,
the
that's
limb.
right. That was the thing. I think that really takes you to another level. I think I was in like my Kmart, like knee length shorts. That
Oh, well,
was it.
I think that's really important. Like, always, like, I'm not saying everything's about how you look, but I do think there's something about like when you feel like you are really good or whatever it is, like you feel like you look good, that's important. Like, you have this confidence, and I think that's so important. And it's not about being better than anyone else or trying to like scare your competitors off, but it's just like, what's that thing people say, like, you do like your lucky thing before you do your event. Like, I definitely am a big believer in that, whatever that is. Like, I don't know what it
What
is
is that word?
anymore.
Ritual?
Yeah, like pre-race rituals, or like people often have like, always will wear my pink undies, or like I'll always wear this ring or whatever it is. And I think a lot of runners wear braids, but for me it was like proper braids, the red scungies, the red crop top, and yeah, you're in the race zone. And there's research on that for like I mean, the psychology of motivation or just sports performance psychology. And when you are in the zone and like you do all these things, it creates that atmosphere where you can perform at your peak. So there's actually science on it. And I think everyone should have a ritual of some sort. So oh,
good takeaway.
Yeah, good takeaway.
All right. Should we move along?
Yes, let's move along. So that is about why we started. And I would like to know, Sophie Lane, why do you still do it currently?
It's a great question. And I feel like often when you have done something for a long time, it's hard, unless you like actively think of why you're doing it, it can just become like, oh, it's just a thing that I do without actually knowing why. Cause it's like, well, I just always have. But if you pause for a moment, everyone listening, take a breath and just think, okay, why do I run currently? Like maybe I used to do it for a certain reason, but has that reason changed? Or is that reason still the same? Or have I just never really thought about it? So that's my little homework for you. Feel free to pause and have a think. But for me personally, I enjoy the challenge and I enjoy the feeling afterwards. And I also enjoy going through that challenge with someone. So whether that's you, that would be my first pick. But when you're busy, I'll take someone else. And going through those hard times and like both of you are like, this is hard, or I'm struggling. I don't know if I can get up that hill. I don't know if I can do that extra kilometer or whatever it is. And then through the power of community or whatever it is, you just get through that together. And then afterwards you just feel so excited and so celebratory of that moment. And it's like, it's, I think sometimes our lives can be so comfortable. And I think it's nice to go through something with someone that is hard and it kind of brings you together and you bond over it. And not every run is like that. Like I'm not doing runs that are outside of my comfort zone every day or every week. A lot of the time it's just easy and chatty and just fun. And you get to be outdoors, you get to see the sunrise or the sunset. You get to go down to the ocean or in the bush or whatever it is. And there's just something really nice and primal about like moving outside, getting a bit huffy and puffy, getting a bit sweaty, and just like being in those nice places. Yeah, I think that's me.
That's lovely. That is so nice. I really like that. And I agree with all of it. Like I relate to all of it, I should say. I think that's so great. I would say for myself, all very similar things. I definitely think for me it's a habit for sure. Although, as I've said, I've had a lot of injuries. So it's definitely not something that I've just been able to do all the time. I have spent more time not running than I have spent running. So it's kind of a habit, but at the same time, it's only a habit like when I have a period of a couple months that I'm doing it. And I it's not kind of just a default because I think I would be doing other things that would be like, for me, the gym is a habit. Like the gym is like so much a habit and like there's purpose behind it, but that is very much like a default. Like I just do it because I just do it. And I there's purpose and intention, but running is less of a habit, even though it is a habit. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And then in terms of why, I've thought about this so much, like all the time. Like I reckon I've journaled about this heaps and I've thought about it right from when I was 8 or 9 and my dad was injured and I was like so sad about my dad's injury. And then when I had injuries, like when I was 9 and then I was 10, 12, and like all these things, I've reflected about it. So I'm a very reflective person. And for the last couple of years, I've been pretty sure about why I do it. And the reasons are, there's like a few things. It is connection is the biggest one. And when I say connection, there's a few parts to that. So the first one is connection to myself. So when I run, I get to connect and check in with myself. And that's like my mental health, my spiritual health, my physical health. The next part of connection is to nature. And so obviously, like that is a huge part. Like I absolutely love being in nature. And gosh, like whether that's the bush, a trail, the beach, like just anything out in the blue sky, the clouds, even if you're running through a city, you can look up and see the clouds. And I love that. And then the third part of connection is connection to a community, which creates a sense of belonging. And I touched on that right at the start. And I think that for me is huge. Like feeling a part of something is really important to me. And it makes me feel valuable and happy and fulfilled as a human, just being a part of a community. So that is super important. So that's connection. And then the second part of that is celebration, the two C's, and celebration of the capacity of the human body. And I think that's pretty much what you were saying, Soph, around like going through tough stuff and like a sense of accomplishment. I just think the body is so amazing, and I just think it's so cool, like all the things it can do, hence why I studied physio. I'm like, whoa, like I'm still amazed, like what the heck, like it's so just weird and amazing. And yeah, so that's like the celebration of what it can do, and like the fact that you can just jog along for 30Ks and chat the whole time and not even notice that you've just been running for 3 hours. And then the other side of it, you can be like pushing and like absolutely going in like, you know, as hard as you can for like a 3K, and it feels like you've been doing it for like 10 hours and you're like, what the heck, like isn't that so weird? They're just so different. And I feel like that's just celebrating what the body and mind can experience together. So how cool. And I will say, I've like been really intentional about thinking about that, those things, because having had so many injuries, I have thought about what my identity is. You know how I said before, like I was the runner, and I've worked hard to shift away from having that identity. Because for me, my identity was very much, I'm a runner and I'm someone who works hard. And that was my identity. Whereas now, that is not part of who I am. They're things that I do and enjoy and appreciate, but I'm the kind of person who enjoys connecting to nature, connecting to myself, being a part of a community, celebrating movement, blah, blah, blah. And so I can find those things in other things. So when I'm not running, it can be something else. Like it can be sitting on the beach, looking at the clouds, like sharing a meal with a friend outside. There's so many things now that I am really aware of why I do it, and having like actually just asked why again and again, I can feel those things in other places, which is really cool. So, so grateful for running because it ticks those boxes so simply, yet stoked because running has taught me about what's important to me. And now I can see that and find that in other places.
Wow. That was very profound. I really enjoyed that. And I think I also, yeah, I think it's so important for us to not rely on running or the gym or alcohol or whatever someone's thing is as their only source of joy or their only source of challenge or their only source of anything. Like, we need to have variety and we need to have options, because when we can't do that one thing, then life's tough. So yeah, I think it's a really good message that you're sharing, and we need to have lots of options. So if you are someone who just runs, then that's cool, but start having a little think about why you run, and is there something else that you could do that would also bring you value and bring you joy and you can get similar aspects from, but isn't something that is purely running.
Yeah, definitely have a brainstorm, guys. We should have a little worksheet.
We should can send you a PDF. Something else I was just thinking as well is what I'm enjoying now, and what I feel like is like a transition of someone who is a bit older. Maybe they're like stepping into their like more mentor type role. I am enjoying running with people who are earlier into their running journey. Not necessarily like completely new, but I'm enjoying, like, we've got a beginner's program at work, which is really cool because it's people who don't run at all, and then they run 5Ks at the end. But also just running with different people at who are at different levels, and for them on that particular day, like the other day, the 30K, for some people that was the longest they'd ever run before, and it's really cool to share that with them. It's kind of nice as well, obviously just selfishly being like, well, 30Ks I can just do, whereas for other people it's like it's such a huge mountain challenge, but helping them through that, I think I'm really enjoying that side of it as well, where it's not just like solely for my own benefit or to get my own PB or whatever. Like, I think the idea of pacing someone or doing something with someone for their joy because they haven't experienced it before, I think I'm starting to enjoy a lot and looking forward to more of those opportunities.
Is that because it just reminds you of how you felt at the start of your journey, because it's just like secondhand enjoyment, like from an empathy perspective?
Yeah, I think it's just nice to see them experience, and like someone who, because we know how good it is, it's like they don't quite know yet because they haven't like felt that feeling yet, and it's like, oh, you just wait, like just wait till you finish, it's gonna be so cool, and like this is life-changing, like you just wait for that next run. And like, yeah, I think knowing how good it can be, I'm just so excited for them to also experience that.
Yeah, Oh, yeah, it's so good, isn't it? I think that's one of my favorite things about my job, actually, is when you hear people talk about like their first whatever, and yeah, it's really satisfying when people are like, yeah, I've done this thing, and like it's my first half marathon, my first full marathon. And at the moment, because Sydney Marathon is coming up, I feel like most of my patients, or not, sorry, not most, I have lots of patients who are training for that. And so we were coming in, and it's their first marathon, and just being excited for people and hearing people just look forward to it and be nervous. Like I get excited for when they're nervous. I'm like, oh yeah, like it's good to be nervous. Like that's part of it. Like, you know, here you are and you're doing it. And like, it is nice. I think I do get a lot out of hearing other people's journeys, because I think I'm quite empathetic, I guess. Because I must be, because I hear the stories and I feel like I am them. I'm like, yeah, wow, like how good. They're like, oh, what about you? I'm like, oh no, like I don't run. I walk and watch the clouds. So that's nice. This would bring us to our next question, Sophie Lane. So we've spoken about why we do it and like the journey. What about things that you think that you didn't do well when you started running, or maybe that you regret from your early years of running, or maybe not even just early years, but even just like the last couple of years that you would do differently?
Yeah, I guess it's interesting for us because our early years were like our early years of life. So us trying to reflect on our 8 to 10 year old selves is different to someone who started running in their 20s. But I think if I'm talking more about kind of my late teens when I was getting a little bit more into it, I think I would like to be less focused on the times. And I think obviously when you're going through like the school cross country athletics system, like it just all is about that. Like, I mean, at least that was my experience. It was very much like you go to the school carnival and then you win or top three or whatever, and then you go to the next one, and then you've got to get top three to go to the next one. And it's like very much if you want to keep doing the thing, you've got to do really well at it. It's not like a participation thing where you can just go and run around. You could do that, but then you're not going to go to the next one. So I found myself like very much like I would always like look up the times from last year and like find if those girls were going to be at this event and figure out like if I do this pace, what time is that going to make me do? Like just like lots of maths, lots of calculations, lots of like checking up old times to see if I can get to the next level or whatever it is. And like none of that really matters, especially now. It's like no one's like if I could say, yeah, I was New South Wales representative or whatever, which I wasn't, but like any of those things, I feel like it's just is not important to me at all now. And it was important to me then. But I wish it wasn't. I feel like I just should have just enjoyed running for what it is. But I think I definitely had different purpose behind why I was running then. And I think when you're like when you're a kid and when you're okay at something, like you said, the validation, like if you're doing better than average at something, then you want to keep doing that thing because you get praised for it and people celebrate you for it and you want to do well at it. So I think if I go back in time, I mean, I wouldn't really change anything, but just taking the focus off the time. So I would say for someone who is getting into it now, like just enjoy it for what it is. I think take the pressure off always having a focus on PBs and improving your time and just try and enjoy it for what it is.
I think that's such good advice for anyone at any age as well, because, or like at any point in their running journey, because I think in literally every activity in life, and we've spoken about this a couple of times, especially when we had Jenny Valentich on and talking about telic compared to atelic activities and how some things are driven by outcomes and driven by, well, yeah, goal-oriented activities compared to just doing the process. And there's so much joy out of just doing the process. And I think that's something that I've paid a lot of attention to in my life, is finding things that are playful and just for fun and for enjoyment. And I think it's like, now for you, running is that, so which is so cool and great. And I just feel like that should be for everyone. Yet I also appreciate the numbers, because I, again, I'm like so impressed by the human body and how everyone's so different. It's so different for different people. Like I'm always amazed and how different we are. Like for someone going as hard as they can, they'll run like a 22 minute 5K, and then someone else going as hard as they can, it's like 15 minutes. Like what the heck? Like how insane. But I love that reflection, Soph. I think that's really nice. I think for me, my journey was so different. Like I don't think back of my younger self and be like, wow, I was like so obsessed with getting PBs and being the best. Like I don't remember that at all. I have always been very driven. As I said, my identity was being the hard worker. So for me, it was always around how do I know, or like, how can I be sure that I've worked the hardest I can and ticked every box of like doing all the extra things? So, like, you know, if there was an option to like do an extra training run or do some extra hill sprints or like run harder in a session, I wanted to do that. And I don't think that was necessarily driven by anyone but myself. Like, it's not like my parents were out there with the whip. What's that thing called? The, I don't know, the cow whip. I'm not
I
sure.
think just whip will do.
On the whip, yeah. But like, it was just, I just really like, I remember there was someone else who was like in competition with me, and their mother used to say to that person, I'm not going to say any more details in case anyone knows who it is, they would be like, such and such, like, you know, you should run so hard until you feel sick, until you vomit at the end. And I remember my parents like overhearing that and then saying to me, like, oh, Lydia, like, you know, you don't have to, like, you know, you're 12, like, you don't have to run until you want to vomit every time. And I was like, yes, mom, like, I know that. But I remember thinking, like, no, like, I want someone to tell me that because, like, I want to work that hard. Like, I want this so much. Yet, like, it wasn't necessarily about getting these PBs. I really love, I did love the process even at that age, and just knowing that I had like done all the things. But I think that to be like, sorry, the process for me was about how hard I could work as opposed to the process of just like seeing improvement and enjoying the, I don't know, fulfillment of exercise or moving or whatever. So I kind of like, again, I definitely wouldn't change anything because I'm so grateful for that experience. But like, I now am like, being like identifying as the hard worker is cool and great, but like, don't sort of like think that that means that you're really dedicated and committed, because just because you're working hard doesn't mean you're working smart. And the most like professional athlete or the best athlete isn't actually someone who just goes 110% every single session. Like, that's actually really counterproductive. And not only do we get injuries like that, we also don't perform at our best, because having deload weeks, having recovery days, like all that stuff is actually so important for our bodies to adapt. Like, it's just science. Like, you literally adapt faster when you have recovery. Like, it's just how it works. So I think, yeah, like reframing what being committed actually looks like being committed isn't getting up at 3 a.m. when you have only gone to bed at, you know, 10 o'clock at night. It's like, well, you're just going to not get enough sleep and you're going to impair your recovery, and that'll catch up with you at some point and you'll end up injured or losing out performance. So I think it's easy to get confused about like being really gritty and tough and like, yes, I'm so committed. But it's like, no, you're actually just like being gritty for the sake of being gritty. Like, you're not actually being productive. So I think I definitely didn't understand that at a young age, but I also am like, of course I didn't. Like, I was 15. Like, how are you meant to understand that when you're that age? And I think later in life, my biggest regret is around not actually getting help when I've had injuries, because I'm like, yeah, I know the stuff to do. Yet I think getting help is so important. And I feel like this just goes across literally every single thing in life. Like, if you need help, don't be so stubborn to not ask for help, or so like caught up in your ego that you can't ask for help. Like, ask for help, guys. It's not easy, yet it's just so important. And there's like no lose by asking for help. So go and do it.
Yes, 100%. I think we are all guilty of thinking we can just fix things on our own, or thinking that things will just disappear magically. But you may as well just get the help early, because you're probably going to end up needing to get it later for something that's more serious. So get onto it before it becomes anything more sinister. Now, speaking of getting help, we would like to share some advice to any new runners. So, Lydia, would you like to kick off with your first piece of wisdom?
So my advice is reflective of my learnings, and it is, consistency over intensity. I think that's just like the absolute most important thing. Like, we just get so confused, I think, at times around what being committed looks like, and very frequently that's in being really patient, really consistent, and not actually going at 200% every single day, every single night. Like, again, like, I use the sleep as an example because, you know, I used to get up 4 o'clock or just before four to be at the gym by like 20 past four, because I was just like, well, if you can, you must. But I just think that's silly now. Sleep's more important, blah, blah, blah. Like, just because you're committed doesn't mean you have to be intense. So consistency over intensity is my number one.
Nice. My number one is to start slow. I think it's far too common for people who don't run to go way too fast and then can't breathe and they hate it and it's uncomfortable and they never go again. Because I think if your only memory of running, or if, like, you know, if you're in your 20s or beyond, the last time you ran was probably in school when you're like running around chasing a ball or running around doing laps or whatever it is. And when you're in those moments as a kid, like, you do just run as fast as you can. You don't know how to pace yourself. So it's probably just our initial reaction is to just go as hard as we can. So my advice whenever I have beginner runners come and see me is walk and then just go beyond a walk. Like, what is the next step above a walk for you? It's like easy jogging pace should not be your max effort or a sprint. So start with a walk and then just move beyond that. Go a little bit faster than what a walk would be. And that would be my starting pace for you. And I think it's way more enjoyable. I think that's something that we've realized as well, is not every run has to be fast. In fact, hardly any run has to be hard or fast. Majority of our runs should be slow and easy. And I think you'll enjoy it so much more if you just take your time and don't worry about the pace. Just like, just cruise along and enjoy it.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. The next bit of advice that would be to have accountability buddies / have a training partner, have friends to do it with, join a running club, join a running community. There is so many running groups, and like, I know we live in Sydney where we are in the hub of it, and not everyone listening to this lives in Sydney. Yet in my experience, not that I've like traveled the world, I'm going to make it sound like I've gone to all these places, like everywhere that I've been, I've found runners to run with, and not even intentionally. Like, runners are quite social and there's always people around that want to run. And like, if not, like, you literally just go and run and then you see someone who's running and like, I've done this before. I've done this and made friends like this, like literally just been running in the street and then someone's running and you run together. Maybe in Sydney, maybe that's small town things, but, oh, like, anyway, we're just enough about that. But like, guys, find people to run with, because it's not hard when you have people to go with. It's so fun. Like, you're just hanging out with friends. Like, I remember one day in Coffs Harbour when I lived up there, I was wanting to catch up with one of my friends, and I was like, hey, like, let's go for a run together. And it was so nice, because I remember like thinking that day as I was driving to work, I was like, I've gone for my run and I've like also gone for a dip in the ocean and gotten coffee with my friend. And like, I've had this social interaction, done my exercise, been in nature. And like, you know, it's not even 7 a.m. and I'm like on the way to work. And like, how damn good is that? Like, what a great way to start your day. Like, it's so easy and fun when you're doing stuff with your friends.
Oh, definitely. And I think if you are someone who is not in Sydney or somewhere that doesn't maybe have as many run clubs, and you're not as brave as Lydia to go up to a random person on the street and just start running with them, there's so many, just like, I feel like every suburb or every area must have a Facebook community group. Literally just post on that and go, hey, I want to get into running, who's keen? Obviously be safe and don't, you know, stranger danger, all that stuff, but I can guarantee there is going to be someone out there who's keen to go for a run with you. So don't be shy, reach out and find someone, because it is way more fun to share the experience with someone else.
And number on that, oh, sorry, no, on that as well, if you're at a running group and there's like heaps of people and you like want to go for another run throughout the week and the running group only meets that one day a week, just say to someone, hey, I'm going for a run tomorrow at 4 after work. Do you want to come? Who finishes work at 4 o'clock? Surely no one, like whatever time you finish work. Because more often than not, runners are going multiple days, and you might, like, I think maybe some people are like, oh, I don't want to, you know, like, I don't know, intrude on their running schedule or whatever. But like, if they say no, cool. But I've ended up with really close friends like that, is literally just meeting them in a run and be like, oh, like, I'm going to go to this other run if you want to join me. And then made lifelong friends. So go and just approach people. And, you know, if they don't want to run with you, cool.
Like, they're lost.
They were meant to be a friend anyway. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yes. Okay. Next one would be having appropriate rest and recovery. Now, Lydia has chatted about this a little bit already, but making sure you actually schedule in some rest days and making sure that your volume and intensity is relatively spread out throughout the week, so you don't have all of your hard and long stuff all at once. I think trying to have this nice undulation throughout the week would be ideal. Obviously, everyone's schedule is different. If you've got genuinely no time throughout the week and everything has to be on the weekend, then that's just how it's going to have to be. But making sure you're not just smashing yourself every single day back to back, making sure there's a little bit of structure. Now, getting a coach is obviously a very helpful way to manage this so that you don't have to think about it. You can take the guesswork out of it. We are more than happy to help you out with some scheduling and structure around your programs if you wish. But if not, just have a look at your calendar and just at the start of the week, type out throughout the week, which sessions are you going to get done? When are they going to get done? And have a look and just make sure that you've got some decent breaks in between those.
Nice. I think that's great. I think that is advice that I have gotten much better at taking myself. So I love it. So let's move on. I think there are main tips for beginners or advice for people getting started or really anywhere in the journey. Now, more specifically, things that I've like changed my mind on. Now, this is like potentially controversial, but something that I've totally changed my mind on is running to feel or running how you feel. Because I used to sort of think like, you know, if I'm tired, I'll rest. And like, if I'm feeling good, I'll run hard. And like, if I feel average, run slow or like cut the run short. But I think what I didn't understand or maybe just misjudged is that often when you're running with people, at least for me, like I get so excited by being with people and being a part of a community, and in particular, people that like I really get along with and I connect with. Like, not every single time I go for a run I'm like, oh my god, how fun, but you know, every now and then when you go for a run with a group of people that you're just like, wow, these people are my people. And again, that comes back to my purpose and reason why I run. But I think I was so much just going on that feel, like everything felt good, everything felt fine, everything felt fun, but I would often just lose sight of the fact that, you know, that I'd run this many days in a row and hadn't had a day off, even though I didn't feel tired, I didn't feel sore. And I know that some people would say, well, you know, if like on one of those days you only do a 2K run, like even though it's not a full day off, it's an easy day and you haven't been to the gym, you had your sleep and you feel fine, then surely that's fine. And that's what I always said to myself. I was like, well, I feel good. Yet at that particular period of my life, I hadn't had heaps of sort of chronic load, which is something that we talk about in the physio world around injury risk. And I had so many injuries on and off over the years, and I was like running the most consistently I'd ever done in my life. So everything was feeling really good naturally because I wasn't injured, but I didn't really consider the fact that it was still a lot more than my skeleton was handling. And that was what I ended up with my bone stress. Although, as I've said before, mine was very much related to biomechanical stuff and limping, which was really silly. But I think if I'd just been more diligent around having my rest days, I would have had a bit more of a buffer around biomechanical areas or training areas, because, you know, they'd just be scheduled deload weeks. So running for feel does not always work when you're someone who gets energized and excited by running with people. Because, you know, my 5K run that I was going to go on turns into a 35K run.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And I think I noticed that last night with my new foot pain. At the Crow's Nest Pace Athletic Run Club, I was having so much fun chatting to everyone. And then I would like stop and kind of let them go and let, you know, wait for the other people to catch up and whatever. And I'd just be standing still by myself for a few seconds. I'm like, oh wow, my foot's really sore. And then if I, yeah, stopped conversation for a few moments or whatever it was, I would really notice my foot. And then I'd just forget because I was distracted. So it could probably also mask some aches and pains as well if you are someone who does get really invested in the conversation and maybe a bit distracted by the fun that's going on. So a good reminder there for all of us. Something that I have changed my mind on is very obvious now. I think like everyone listening to this should know, but more kilometers, more running does not equal being a better runner or improving your times or any of that. I think I got very caught up in like, wow, well, I need, you know, I've done 45Ks this week, so I need to do 50 next week, and then I need to do 55, and then blah, 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 like this never ending ceiling of just doing more and more and more. And we know that it is about quality, not quantity, and having appropriate rest and deloads in between. And if you're just chasing doing more, like it's not going to work out for you eventually. I think it is very likely that an injury will arise if you are just piling on more and more mileage. So I think that obviously over the last few years or more has been very front of mind, and I've kind of let go of that need to do more. I'm just quite happy to just do the same and maintain. Like, I think maintenance is underrated. I think more of us need to just carry on and just keep doing what we're doing for a while and still have those little deload weeks and maybe have some peak weeks and, you know, have a little bit of undulation, but not this kind of never-ending mountain that we're trying to climb.
That is such a hard one, isn't it? Accepting maintenance. Like, that is so hard because I think there's something innate in us that desires progress. Like, I think that is a scientifically proven thing where we just desire progress. I guess, though, we have to accept maintenance because it's not realistic in a sporting aspect, in a sporting perspective. Like, you actually just can't. So you've got to find other areas in your life that you can progress at. And I guess not being progressive or not progressing at every single thing in your life all the time, like, it's just not realistic. But that's hard. Like, I think that is so hard. And I say that, like, I feel like I speak for lots of people when I say that. I think for me, I feel like I've accepted that because I don't know when I last progressed. So I will talk about that another time. Like, I feel like I'm like reverse progress.
Just trying to get to your 7-year-old self as quick as possible.
No.
Your swimming friends.
My swimming friends are great. That's anyway, I guess, like, the accepting maintenance, I find that hard because, like, when I look at where I am now and sort of where I thought I could have been now based on, like, what I was doing even 1 year ago, like just starting to get back into speed running, just getting back, like, it'd been, I think, a year and a half after my stress fracture, and I was like, cool, like, I'm ready to start running harder and faster again, which sounds like a huge long, like, buffer post stressy, but I was very diligent in my recovery, blah blah blah, and yet here I am a year later and I'm like, got puffed walking up a hill. Like, I'm literally, like, going for walks and that's, like, my big exercise, which, you know, is just having to accept where I am. And obviously, like, there's something that I enjoy about, like, swimming. I can get that sense of progression. There's, like, other areas in my life which I'm looking for progress. Yeah, I think it's just part of being human is seeking progress. So that is a really tricky one. I'm not, like, definitely not saying that we shouldn't strive for maintenance. I think it's awesome. Yeah, I think it's, I think that's tough. I think that's so hard, yet should be celebrated. I think we should encourage and celebrate that because, you know, you learn so much. And I still do very much believe, and again, this is the thing, isn't it? Like, I justify the lack of progress, quote unquote progress, right now by saying the comeback is going to be stronger. And, like, the next phase, I'm going to be so much more enriched with wisdom around, you know, quote unquote, listening to my body and preventing injuries and having recovery and a better strength program and, like, all these things. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be better. And I don't shame myself for that. Like, I think that's healthy and good because it's like learning from your past is how we just feel more fulfilled in life, right? Like, I think that's good. Yeah, it's hard. I don't know where the balance is. And I'm happy to not know where the balance is. But I appreciate the opportunity to reflect.
Well, I think they're different. I think if you've gone through something such as an injury and you've learned something from it, then, of course, going back and doing exactly what you did before, which would be maintaining in this scenario, is incorrect. I don't think that's the right thing to do. But I think when you're at a point of things going well, potentially, or things aren't going badly, then trying to accept that, like, this is okay and where I'm at right now is okay and this could be okay for the next year. Just because I'm now healed or fixed or better or whatever the term is, doesn't mean I then need to, like, jump through hoops to get to the next thing. And I think I'm referring to when I'm talking about maintenance is more just, like, training volume rather than, like, injury prevention or mitigation or getting faster and things like that. I think just, like, keeping our volume the same, because I think it's really easy for us to, especially as long distance runners, want to run further. Whereas I think maybe we just don't need to. Like, can we just not just keep doing the same amount of training rather than once we can do this number, can we then do the next number? You know what I'm saying?
Right. So you're speaking more about actual running volume then.
I think so, yeah.
Not around all the things. Okay, cool. I can get around that much more.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Because I don't think, because I think otherwise, yeah, we need to progress as humans. Like, we need to learn from our mistakes. I don't think it's a matter of staying the same.
It's like, doesn't quite seem right, does it, to be saying, because that's the laws of strength training. is progressive overload. I think that's what we're designed to do. Like, you can't just do the same weight for your calf raises every day. Is that what you're trying to tell me, Sophie Lane? You've been doing the same weight for years?
No. Anyway, I liked where you went with that, not where I was going with it, but I appreciate it. Okay, biggest mistakes that we see as EPs, coaches, physios, PTs.
Okay, I think the biggest one is skipping end stage rehab because, who wants to do end stage rehab? Despite the fact that end stage rehab is actually
fun, right?
More, it's
That's
way
the fun
more
stuff.
Fun.
Isn't
it's
that
the
so
best.
ironic?
It is, but can I just say they're the funnest exercises because, like, typically it's plyometrics and like more running specific drills, like if running is your activity. Yet, I think people skip it because you get to that point where you're out of pain and then you just kind of like get back to everything you're doing. But it's crazy because you're just missing out on so much. Like, there's so much more you can gain around preventing the injury from coming back or just preventing future injuries. And I think, to be honest, like, I'm guilty of this as well. Like, I only just started doing plyometrics consistently in the gym. Oh, actually, no, that's not true. Actually, no, I'm actually better than I thought. No, I have done them for years. But like, no, I have done them. Actually, I'm like, oh, I never did them, but no, I just remember it. I know I do. So, but in saying that, I have been guilty of, like, for example, like, when I've had little niggles and things, I've like just sort of let nature do its thing and like deload it and reload it, do some, like, continue doing my strength work. I'm always doing the right things. Always doing the right things. Gosh, look at me.
Oh,
I'm always doing
oh,
everything
yeah.
right,
Didn't know
obviously.
You were the best.
Because I am the best. Always. You know me. Perfect clear. But like, often I've just complained about everything that's wrong about my body. But like, I will kind of be like, well, look, I'm not in pain anymore. So, like, you know, it's fine. Like, I don't need to do anything extra and above and beyond what I'm already doing. Like, the things that I'm doing are enough. But I think I probably could do a better job at, like, going and doing some more specific things to really be sure that I've reached that, you know, high stage capacity. And I think patients do that all the time. Like, as soon as they're out of pain, it's like, oh, like, I'm back to normal running and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, but have you just gotten used to a lower level of what you're capable of? For example, me with my foot, and like, be completely honest, I really just didn't notice, but I've been running flat footed on my right foot for like who knows how long. I think since I tore my hamstring, to be honest, whereas like on my left foot, I'm like landing on the ball of my foot. So really not great. Like, I tested it on our treadmill at work on the pressure plates. I was like, ooh, and I can feel it. I try and do on my forefoot on my right, and I can't do it. So that's like just silly. I think I'm just too busy in my zone in the process that I just didn't notice. But bad Lydia.
Yes, I think that is a really big one. I think it's so common. And it makes sense because, you know, not many people enjoy doing rehab. So as soon as you can get back to the thing that you were doing before and it's comfortable, it's like, okay, cool, I'm fixed, I'm sorted. Like, what is the need to carry on? So I think we should do some episodes around that and the importance of that, because I think there's a lot to learn. But if you are someone who is currently going through rehab, keep going. Don't cut it short. It's like when you take antibiotics, right? You got to take the full course or it doesn't work. That's a
That's
little
analogy. It is an
metaphor?
Analogy.
Okay, great.
It's an analogy.
Okay, number two for me in terms of biggest mistakes is looking for quick fixes and being frustrated when they don't work. Like, obviously they don't work, okay? So many people are injured and they go, oh, yeah, I got a massage. And like, then I tried to run again and it still hurt. I'm like, well, obviously you didn't actually fix anything. Like, get to the root cause. Like, get to the thing. Why is it sore to begin with? Let's sort it out. And yeah, that frustrates me a little bit because I think people rely on some passive modalities or simply just resting or whatever it is and don't realize they actually have to put in a little bit of extra work to have some long-term effects. So yes, there is no magic pill, unfortunately.
Another mistake that I see is people thinking, so on the opposite side of that, I think there's like two different types of patients. There's patients who think that they can just have a quick fix and they get better. And then there's other type of patient or runner or person that's like, I need to do all this like hard work to make myself get better. And I probably more sit on that side of the spectrum. And having conversations last week with my boss, shout out to Alex Bell, who's amazing. And he was like actually saying, Lydia, I want you to go to the gym less. I want you to do less of this, and encouraging me to go really hard on the days that I am doing my gym session and then, but only going 3 times a week. And I was like, oh, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, what, don't go 6 times a week, but like I've got so much free time, like I'm not running, you know, 10 hours a week, I've got so much time, like I might as well just go and, you know, do all those extra bicep curls. But he's like, no, like let's just do less. So I think that I see people do all the time, and like I'm exaggerating that a little bit, like I do understand that rest is important. I've definitely adjusted my life theme of hard work, yet I see often patients be like, oh, what else can I do, what else can I do? I'm like, no, go to bed early, eat your veggies. In fact, I literally say that exact line all the time. I'm like, just, yeah, go to bed early, eat your veggies. Like, don't run. That's it. Full stop. And we'll check in 2 days' time. You know what I mean? Like, yep. Sometimes a simple thing is just, like, just chill out for a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we all need a bit of that. One more mistake before we move on to our goals, if that's okay, yeah. Is thinking that you should be doing what someone else is doing. So looking at someone else's training and going, oh, cool, they did this session and they're training for the same thing, so I need to do that session. Or they did this many kilometers that week, so I need to do that many kilometers. And we are all individuals. We all have our own journeys, our own training histories, injury histories, our own just genetics and physical capability. So there is no cookie cutter approach. There is no copying someone else and assuming you're going to get the same results, because it's not going to work. So be your own person.
Amazing. All right. Let's go through our goals for the next couple months, couple years. Sophie Lee.
Oh, hit me. Okay. This is the only thing that we haven't written anything down for. So I'm sure you've got something prepared that you probably journaled about and written down on a Google Doc, and I'm just thinking
I definitely have. I always have. Okay. But like for the listeners hearing you say the only thing that we haven't prepared, I feel like this whole episode sounds unprepared.
Oh, well, we wrote like something down. No, guys, full transparency, we logged on like 10 minutes before recording and we're like, oh, we should probably plan something. So we've written a few dot points apart from this goals dot point. But the first thing that comes to mind for me is the Tararira 50K next year.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Amazing. Course. The one that I encourage you to do and then said, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, pretty much. So yes, February next year, 50K. And I feel like, so I got an email the other day saying it was 6 months away. And I'm excited by the thought. Now, bear with me. You know, I'm an event obsessor. Lover.
Yes.
I'm thinking that this is just going to be my thing for the next 6 months. Like the only thing I'm going to like be focusing my training on will be that. And I'm not going to go crazy doing all these random things, but I think like that will just be in the back of my mind, having a nice gradual slow build. I think definitely need to do a bit of rehab recovery, get the body right, and then gradually build up towards that. And I think I'm excited for a long preparation, whereas often it's kind of like, oh, there's something on next week, let's do it.
Well, that's you.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I'm excited.
2 days before the event enters.
Yes. So yeah, that's my like medium-term goal is 6 months time, 50K Tararira. I don't have, beyond like doing it well, I don't really have a goal in terms of like anything beyond that. But it's just something that I am working towards and training towards. Yes. Would you like to go next?
I shall. Anyone else? Thanks. Anyone else want to go? I'll go.
We'll pass around the mic.
I love that, Soph. I love the single focus because I think you do like to get excited by all the things. So I love the split focus. I will keep you accountable.
Thank you.
For me, step one, I just want to get my body right. And I feel like that's probably pretty obvious. I've got, obviously I've mentioned my foot, but there's my hip, which is more of a situation than anything else, and all this nerve pain / all the situation at the moment. I want to get that sorted. I just want to be healthy, and I just want to get out and like leave my house and be like, oh, I can just do whatever I feel like doing. But at the moment I feel very limited and I am very frustrated by that. Although at the same time, I'm probably the most like unbothered I've ever been about an injury, despite all my complaints. I am also like, oh, like I actually have enjoyed walking the most I ever have in my life. So like stoked about that. And I think I'm still living in alignment with the whole, like what my purpose is behind running. And I'm getting that in all the different ways. So that's awesome. That's great. I do want to focus on my rehab, but the next thing that I want to do is a sub 11 minute 3K.
Oh.
Just because why not?
Is that, I thought that was a joke when you told me that the other day.
Oh, did I tell you? Oh.
Yeah. You're like, the distances are getting shorter. We tried 10. We tried 5. We're going to 3. Although you did the 5 so well. Is it, well, I just think, question, oh, yeah. Are you going for that because it requires less volume therefore maybe safer on your journey back to full running?
No, just had a patient who was telling me about doing the Sydney State 3K.
Oh, the one that's like, it's pretty soon, isn't it?
I think it's like December. So I was like, oh, I could possibly do that. So that was just a little bit of something that I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, that sounds fun. But truthfully, I want to do a sub 11 3K, a sub 18 5K, I think. So here I am, like, you were like, I'm not about the times anymore. And I've like, I've done the opposite. Like, now I'm like, yes, I want to get some times.
See, now you say all this makes me want to do it too. I'm so easily swayed. Like, yeah, sign me up. Well,
I know. So you have to say me one thing. Yes. I really like the idea of getting faster because I've never done that. And to me, it's like celebrating what the human body can do. And that just excites me so much. Outside of that, I want to do some multi-day trail ultralight running. So you have a ultra little light. Pack on, ultralight run camping. So you have a little pack on. The goal is to have it 8 kilos or under. And it's like you run all day and then you set up your camp spot and then you camp. Have your toasted marshmallows, which I don't really like marshmallows, so probably not. And then you run the next day to the next spot. And I think I'm going to do that like down the South Coast, like run through Royal National Park and then run down to Kiama and like all those trails all the way down until I get to Batemans Bay. Like, imagine that.
How will you get back? Off,
catch the train.
Nice.
I don't know if there's a train all the way down there, but
you sounded confident. I believed you.
there's a train at least somewhere. I know there's a train through Royal National Park. I don't know. Okay. I'll get a lift. Cool. I had a dream about this as well, actually. Maybe that's why.
Okay. Well, I was also thinking one day we should do like a relay across the world or something. Not quite across the world, maybe across Australia. Where like one day you run and I crew, and then the next day I run and you crew. Would that not be so fun?
Oh, that's so cute.
Like one of us drives the van, the other one runs, and then we like be
separate the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I know what we do. We'd have a little like headset on so we could chat.
That'd be nice. We can wave through the rear view mirror. Beautiful. Anyway, just an idea. So that can be like long-term goal.
Long-term goal. And the Sydney food running tour.
It's coming. It's coming, guys. We'll put the pre-order tickets in the bio. Speaking of bio, we should wrap things up. But I've really enjoyed myself today. I think we should do more of these. Let us know if you enjoyed it, listeners, if you're still hanging around, because we had fun. So maybe we'll just record them and not put them anywhere. It forces us to catch up. So it's really nice.
All right, thanks for listening, friends, and can't wait to see you next for Sophie Lane's solo episode.
Oh yeah, I better record that. Thank you so much. If you need some hydration or nutrition, check out our link for Tailwind, and also if you'd like some new shoes, we have a link for Vivo Barefoot, and we might see some of you today at the Sydney Marathon Run Club ASICS Run, and also we might see some of you at the Sydney Marathon. Lydia will be at the finish line. I will be somewhere floating around. We'll see. Stay tuned. Yeah. We need to figure that out. Me and you got to sort that. All right. Bye, team. All right. Thank you so much.
Bye.